Hi, this is Amit Raj, and this is SEO in 2024.
Amit, what is your number one SEO tip for 2024?
My main tip is basically the core essence of link building is ultimately human connection. So obviously there's a lot of, lot of things about AI. AI is coming to the forefront. There's a lot about automation methods, using the best tools. However, your aim should always be using, I think, still a human first and a audience first approach to link building. For instance, is the link relevant? Does it provide value? And does your outreach provide value? And these kind of things.
So does the human first approach actually also take into account building the relationships beforehand and actually, knowing who that person is that you're asking a link from?
Yeah, definitely. I think in relationship building, it's one of those buzzwords that I know gets used a lot in link building and other outreach types, but I think it's important to do your research before you reach out to somebody or to certain types of websites. I think that's important. And it's easy to lose sight of that, especially if you try to do it at scale. You know, so I think that's part of it. And also thinking, if even not the individual person that you're reaching out to, what type of website is that, or who is their audience, you know, and trying to speak to that. I think that in itself is if you do that, you can't go too far wrong in your outreach.
So, I mean, ideally, do you want to have a relationship with someone prior to asking for a link? So, i.e. the first piece of communication they receive from you isn't about asking for a link.
I would say, I think ideally, one thing, I mean, people have different tactics they use for building links. I talked to somebody the other day, he had existing relationships with a bunch of SaaS companies because their company was already using these tools, and they used that as leverage to, you know, perhaps, do a kind of get a link from them and to do a piece talking about a specific topic. So things like that definitely do help. I think that's one approach, reaching out without, you know, directly asking for the link. I think that's definitely one approach. You can still pretty, you know, move the conversation forward to asking for a link or offering, I guess, content, which at least would give some context to that. You know, it would make sense for them to link to you if you provided the content. So different approaches of doing it, but it is one tactic, you know, that can really work.
So I think it's just worthwhile emphasising what you were saying just to the beginning of your comment there. So you were saying perhaps actually reach out to websites that you would like to build a relationship with and actually reach out to thought leaders there and ask them to contribute maybe to a piece of content. Maybe you're putting together the top 20 thought leaders from a particular industry and their opinion on a particular topic. So the first step is simply getting that piece of content featured on your website. And then after it goes live, then you can say to them, look, we love what you're doing with your blog. So we'd certainly be keen to provide a piece of content if that would be something that you'd be open to. Is that the kind of multiple step process that you would recommend?
I think that is one approach that works. There's obviously different ways of doing it because I know some sites might not want to do like a large roundup piece, but I think definitely that I have seen that approach before where, you know, you would perhaps get 10, 15, 20 thought leaders to comment on something, and then it's quite, you can leverage that because there's, you know, quite a few people potentially that could link back to you. That's one approach, or perhaps doing it on a one-to-one basis, you know, for individual, for instance, perhaps businesses that are in related sectors, you know, perhaps reach out to them and perhaps offer to write content or perhaps they could contribute to a piece and you could get a link back, things like this, or perhaps even industry news sites, you know, something that's in your own industry, you know, they are potentially quite hungry for content.
And perhaps having your own podcast and interviewing thought leaders for that is a good way to build relationships.
True. That is also one, yeah, that we're just doing now.
Indeed. So how would you define a valuable link in 2024?
So I think a valuable link, there are different degrees of relevance. I think that's one of the things is what would you define as a relevant link? And it's quite a wide spectrum. So what everybody really wants is they want links within their own industry. Now, that can be hard if it's a particular tight niche. You know, you might run out of sites to reach out to and not everyone will link. But then you have to think about crossover sectors, perhaps industries that are related to your own, perhaps not specifically in your industry. And trying to get, I believe that really is a, that's a valuable link, you know, and definitely if you can get links, I believe that's what Google's really looking for, you know, in terms of, and there's different schools of thoughts and different theories about how it really works, but your ultimate goal really should be to get relevant links, you know, if not within your own industry, at least from industries where it makes sense to have a link from there, you know. And when you do that, I believe, you know, the link quality should go up in tandem with that as well.
And a crossover sector would be perhaps a feeder sector, or perhaps a sector that does some of what you do or not all of what you do. And I guess also part of that definition would be a business that also is likely to appeal to the same sort of audience.
Pretty much, yeah. I think you can sometimes get an idea from analysing competitors, you know, in terms of where are they, who's mentioning them. You know, that does give you some insight as to where you might reach out to get a link. But you should also think about linkable audiences and things like, for instance, if you have a way of relating your business to the wedding sector, perhaps newlyweds are a target audience and perhaps you want to reach out to sites targeting that audience and get them to link to your content piece or provide content that they can then publish and which would link back to you. So I think, yeah, doing analysis of competitors or just, you know, a lot of people, they know their core business and they know who the target audience is. So I think that sometimes gives you an idea as to, you know, who you should be reaching out to. Could be, you know, whether it's the wedding industry or it could be parents, you know, any sites aimed at parents or nannies, female entrepreneurs, could be anything like that. You know, whatever it is what you would deem relevant and your target audience, that can kind of give you some seed ideas to work with.
Understood. So maybe take some lessons from Facebook advertising, because when, for instance, when someone announces an engagement on Facebook, then the very next day they're bombarded with wedding adverts. You know, here's where to book your wedding. Here's where you get a wedding cake or whatever. So just one step before they get to your particular service. Is that an approach that you tend to take as well?
Yeah, and we do that for clients in terms of looking at their business and then thinking about their, you know, what are the products or services? Who do they service? Who is the target audience? And you can get a lot of ideas, you know, even if competitors sometimes don't have a lot of links or they've not got links from that sector, it's sometimes still worth trying it because it might just be they've not tried that sector before, as long as it's relevant, of course.
So do websites know the value of the link that they're perhaps giving you? And are websites more likely to want to charge you money? Or are they happy to maybe just link to good content for their audience? Or are they perhaps looking for something else in kind?
Yeah, I think we've kind of seen everything. I think definitely people are saying they're finding a lot more people asking for links, asking for money for links that they maybe wouldn't have before. I think particularly for bloggers, you do find that. And it's just, you know, it is a revenue source and it is expected with certain types of websites. But that's why we do try to reach out to other businesses, particularly small to medium-sized business, because we tend to find that they are more hungry for content. And as long as you serve that purpose and it's valuable content, they're usually quite happy to publish it. And of course, they may link to you or they may not, but it's always good to kind of establish with that, you know, beforehand, if they've got any guidelines. But I think we quite like reaching out to businesses for that reason, but you will have people asking for money as well. And again, there's different schools of thought on that, you know, but I think you still have to vet the site quality, of course, if you are going to use paid link strategies.
And of course, small and medium-sized businesses may become bigger businesses in the future. Low authority websites may become higher authority websites in the future, especially if you link stays on there, then that could be a wonderful strategy.
Exactly, yeah, and it would. At the end of the day, you know, they still have a target audience of some sort. You know, there'll still be some potentially traffic there as well. And it's a relevant link. You know, I think if you're able to satisfy that, and like you said, with time, that site could also grow. You know, and if it's a good link, it's worth going for it. You know.
So I feel that I'm getting a lot more cold generic outreach now than I used to. Spam. So how do you stand out with your outreach to try to ensure that no one just clicks on the button, this is spam, and make that terrible for your domain?
That's right. I think there's a couple of things you can do. I mean, one good way of doing it, but this again ties in with your strategy and your prospecting, is to really think about who you're going to be reaching out to. For instance, if you do have a particular target audience in mind, you know, it's about making sure you have lists that are within, that are tight prospecting lists. They are actually from that industry or a particular type of website. And then framing your outreach where, you know, you can segment or you can theme your template so that it does, you know, look, it's very specific to them. It looks very specific. But of course, leave room to personalize. You want to at least show that you've done some kind of research, you know, whether it's an icebreaker or you want to specifically mention a content idea that you know they'll find valuable. And I find that works as opposed to kind of generic icebreakers, because I've seen a lot of the kind of AI first line writers and I've looked at that, and I sometimes don't feel it gives you a good, and again, it's all about human first approach to link building, and I'm not always keen on the AI line writing. So I think having a bit of human touch on the emails, whether it's one line or a few phrases or something, you know, it does make a big difference. In line with that, I think yeah, so personalizing, and even things like email deliverability for on the technical side of things. So you want to keep your bounce rate low. And when you do frame your outreach a certain way and it comes across well and it's personalised, you'll then less likely have people marking you as spam. And I think more of your other emails will probably get to the inbox as well, just from a technical, you know, kind of deliverability point of view.
And if you are using software to automate the sending of your emails, are you better off to use a different domain name compared with the one that you're actually using for your website?
Yeah, there's a few. I think people have different ways of doing it, but I would always recommend, if you are trying to do it at scale, I'd always recommend using a separate domain, kind of like a secondary domain, which is to do with your brand name. It can't be your main domain, but something that's kind of related to it.
Sure. So if your main domain is .com, you can perhaps use .co.uk or something like that.
Something like that, or you could. I've even seen people use things like, if it's like the brandname.com, they'll use like trybrandname.com, something like kind of related to it. But yeah, different ways of doing it, using the .com or the .net or things like that, you know, just so that you're protecting the emails from your main domain as well.
And do you have any particular choice of outreach software at the moment?
So we use Pitchbox, actually. We do find, we've tested a few over the years, but Pitchbox, I just find it really good for tracking things like, you know, your success rate, win rate, things like this. Gives you a lot of detail and you get some really good reports. So we find Pitchbox really good in terms of doing things at scale. It does come in quite useful for that.
So if an SEO is struggling for time, what should they stop doing right now so they can spend more time doing what you suggest in 2024?
I think it's the balance with outreach. So I think this spray and pray approach, as people call it, it doesn't work. You know, don't take a generic single template and blast it out. You know, that the kind of numbers you would get, you would need to do to get decent links, you know, it is huge. So I would say that's the first thing to avoid doing. At the same time, have the personalization. Do enough personalization that it serves the purpose of what you're trying to do. I think that's also important. Don't overly personalize to the point where it's kind of not relevant to the outreach or relevant to what kind of value you're trying to give. I think otherwise you get too bogged down in the personalization. You start to overthink it. And that's important, especially if you're trying to do it at scale. So it's balancing it and honestly, to see if you're just really genuinely helpful and you're adding value to people when you're reaching out to them, you're showing them the right type of content, you've got the right content ideas, that will come across. So I think that, in line with kind of using themed segmented templates, is really good, because that can help you do things at scale a bit better, where you can kind of relate your content to a particular type of website or group of websites. And that's particularly if you're doing it at scale. You know, I think that's where themed templates comes in useful, but still obviously personalize, you know, where you can as well.
Amit Raj is CEO of The Links Guy, and you can find him over at thelinksguy.com. Amit, thanks so much for being part of SEO in 2024.
No problem. Thanks for having me, David.
I've been your host, David Bain. Get your copy of SEO in 2024, the book, over at seoin2024.com.